You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Hey, real estate fan, and thank you for joining me this week on another episode of Real Escape Investing. And this week, I have a special episode queued up for you guys. In the past weeks, we've been doing more macro analysis, more looking at some of the trends that are happening, some big picture stuff. But in the last few weeks, I've had conversations with different people that have made me feel like it's really time to do a back to basics episode that's going to focus on building habits and looking at what some successful people are doing every single day to grow their real estate portfolios and to develop as investors. So that's going to be the topic of the show today.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Estate fan, while in recent weeks we've been talking about everything from mental illness to addictions to mortgage crises and beating affordability, this week we're going to do kind of a back to basics episode where we look at the five habits that most successful investors are implementing on a weekly and daily basis. And my goal is to explain them to you in such a way that you're going to be able to start building those habits this week and audit what you're doing in a way that's going to help you jumpstart and move forward and being super effective with your real estate investing goals this fall. And before we dive into the meat of the episode, I do want to just give the preamble that I usually do to the show, which is that my goal with these episodes is to give you actionable steps and things that you can put into practice almost immediately that are going to help you move forward. So when I'm sharing anecdotes with you or political stories or particular trends that are going on, it's not so much with a view to be judging people or calling things out or having a political opinion. It's really more to help you take action and move forward on your path to increasing your portfolio size or to just really grow as a real estate investor. Because let's face it, part of my motivation, and I think part of really what a lot of us are trying to do with our investing is, yes, to build generational wealth, to build financial independence. But what is actually the idea behind that? Because without the community, without the purpose, without this growth mindset that we're really trying to become better every single day, another deal, another door, another dollar, the three D's really aren't the things that make our existence meaningful. And they're not the things that really push us to get out of bed in the morning unless those metrics in some way represent some meaningful success that we're going after that's actually going to make our lives that much better. Because otherwise, it's really just a question of being motivated by external markers of success and not actually thinking about what moves the needle for us in terms of our life enjoyment or perhaps what our grandmaster plan of what we want our life to look like. So while we're on this topic of action steps that you can take and meaningful things that you can do, I want to take the opportunity to invite you to our next Equity Builders Club in-person networking event in Montreal. We have one actually next week on Tuesday, September 16th. So if you don't have anything in the calendar for that day, or even if you do, I would love it if you would come and join me and the other Equity Builders Club members in person at the University Club. You can, as always, use my promo code to get $5 off of the ticket for the next event. And you would just want to use the promo code ML5. So Mindful Landlord 5 for $5 off. Mindful Landlord, the title of my first book, which is available on Amazon. So please consider that an open invitation to join me at our next networking event next week. And without any more preamble, I want to jump into those five habits that successful investors are using all the time and that really are helping to generate success. Because ultimately, that's what having winning habits is all about, is to have those behaviors that on a every day and moment to moment basis are going to keep you on track with your big picture goals. Because it's one thing to have a sense for where you want to be going in a big picture way, but it's another thing to make good decisions that support those goals on an ongoing basis. And that's what building those habits is all about. So let's talk with habit number one, which is really very simply just to have a plan. And I know I had some coach back in my past, distant past, not so distant past, saying that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And I definitely second that thinking. But don't take it from me. Don't, you know, refer to the high school coach who maybe yelled that at you from across the gymnasium. But if we look at some data, I'm actually blown away when I look at our EBC Advanced Mentorship students. So 60% of our 2025 cohort, that is the group who started back in January 2025 in our Advanced EBC coaching group, they have already hit their goals. And like, this blows me away just from, you know, a personal appreciation perspective, which is that when you have, you know, a group of people come in and everybody is setting these lofty goals that seems to them almost too big at the beginning of the year. It's just super exciting to say that we're now beginning of September. There's 4 months left in the year. And, you know, those students of mine have already hit those milestones. So that's, you know, really a great moment of appreciation for them. And it's very exciting to see people go through that. But what I want to bring this back to is to anchor the fact that the mere fact of having those goals is so key to attaining them. And I will tell you, not a week goes by that I don't have conversations with people from my network, not necessarily from the Equity Builders Club network, because we know better than this, but from my social network and the people who are around me in the community who have these kind of vague goals, whether they're real estate goals or family goals or vacation goals or whatever it is. And, you know, people love to talk about things that they want to do. And so they're like, yeah, you know, I would like to buy another property. I would like to do this thing. I would like to quit my job. I would like to do this and that. And I really feel like those conversations are ones that I have year after year with the same people without anything actually concretely changing for them. And the fact is that these kind of like vague things that you're putting out to the universe of like, oh yeah, I would like to buy another property. Like, oh yeah, I would like to quit my day job and do this or that endeavor. That's not a plan. It's a wish. And unless you are sitting down and really mapping things out quarter by quarter, working backwards from where you want to be, for example, at the end of 2025, unless you're doing that in a very diligent and organized and intentional way, it's just wishful thinking. And even though I feel like a lot of us know this, right? Like, just bringing that back to doing that SMART goals process, if you want to have a more step-by-step way of looking through that, there are previous episodes in which I do it. I also have a webinar that we share with EBC that takes people through how to set SMART goals quarter by quarter. And so like, you know, unless you're doing some kind of a process like that, where you're really engaged in strategic planning on a yearly basis and on a quarterly basis, it really is going to help daily life just take over. And Lord knows, between our cell phones that are always going off, family, social, all kinds of other obligations that are constantly trying to pull us off track, if we don't do that strategic planning and really have a way of tracking it on a week by week basis, it's very easy to get off track and to watch time go by without you actually getting any closer to whatever goal it is that you set out at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the quarter, or that you've just been sort of putting out to the universe for the past 10 years. And, you know, what this really allows you to do is to also strategically understand what to say no to. Because every time you say yes to something that is not on that list of goals, that is not on your quarterly goal, you're actually kind of saying no to whatever those goals are. And unless we are super intentional about how we allocate our time and our effort and the limited energy that we have, it's just too easy for that to get squandered and to go off in the wrong direction. You know, just taking care of whatever fire is there in front of us, as opposed to really remaining tight and intentional to the goals that we have and the way in which we've broken those goals down over an existing time period. And, You know, what I will say about this is that this is where, you know, mentorship can actually be super useful, because sometimes it's not clear how to break things down into smaller pieces. And, you know, when we have this joke of like, oh, how do you eat a 12-inch sandwich? Well, the answer is you eat it one bite at a time. But it's not always easy to know which bite has to come first, or even necessarily which sandwich you should be eating. And so that is definitely something we do at Equity Builders Club. But if you have any form of mentorship that you're involved in, one of the great things about having a mentor is really to go through that strategic planning with you, and to really, you know, sit down and think about how am I going to consume that sandwich? Which end am I going to take it from? And how do I make sure that I'm really doing step one before step two and step three? And that sometimes it's just really not that easy to know, you know, what to do first or where to start. And that is where the mentorship really can add value to whatever kind of strategic planning that you're doing. So let me just conclude this point with a general call to action. That is, if you do not have your queue for actions, your queue for goals mapped out, that's definitely something that you want to be allocating a little bit of time for this month. And, you know, again, it's not because you are scrolling Centris or the MLS that you're actually moving forward with your goals. Unfortunately, that ends up being the way that us real estate investors procrastinate, as opposed to really saying like, I'm going to crunch five deals this week, or I'm going to do three offers before the end of the month, or whatever tangible thing it is that you're doing, as opposed to just scrolling properties on Centris and really not diving in or not really doing anything actionable that's going to bring you one step closer to closing on that property. So tip number one is make sure you have a plan. The second habit of successful investors is to ask better questions. And whatever questions you're asking yourself, your brain is this incredible computer that is trained to provide you with answers. It's like a calculator. And so whatever questions you ask yourself, those are the answers that your brain is going to give you. And so I will tell you, you know, part of what inspired me to record this episode today is that over the weekend, I had yet another conversation. Like, this conversation happens once a week, where I'm talking to a business owner or somebody who is doing real estate investing and who is breaking their head over, you know, how to hide money from the tax man. And if you're in business, this looks like doing a bunch of cash transactions. If you're in the real estate field, it might look like cashing your rent in cash, maybe having leases that don't reflect the actual amount of money that you are collecting, and just generally doing whatever you can to not declare your full income on your income tax, and then paying your contractors in cash, because then you're going to save whatever 15% sales tax or something like that. And so what I want to say to this is that this is really sort of a short-term kind of questioning of like, how can I avoid paying the tax man today, as opposed to asking those bigger questions that really have to do with how you structure your investing and your business as a professional. And what I like to do whenever this conversation happens is to use the example of, you know, McDonald's or Microsoft, and say, well, do you think that, you know, Bill Gates, or that the founder of McDonald's, was able to build this incredible company by worrying about how to take cash payments at the cash? And, you know, the answer is that they really weren't doing that. What they were doing is they were thinking about how to be at the cutting edge, how to have incredible systems. Like McDonald's, really, its success is embedded in its systems. It's not because they have the world's most incredible hamburger. It's just that they're able to scale the delivery of that hamburger in an efficient way across a huge geographic area. And to come up with that, like, is really not easy to do. It's like award-winning, in the same way, you know, Microsoft, who's able to build systems that all of us are using in our computers. Like, the way that those were done were not through the founders putting their mind to how can I, you know, avoid paying tax by taking cash payments. It's rather, how can I 10x this model? How can I scale? Or how do I build a system that's going to be amazing? Or how do I create repeatable value? How do I build value for my clients? And that those are the kinds of big questions that are going to help you either scale and build a business if that's what you're doing, or if you're more in the investing space, you might be asking yourself questions of like, you know, what would a successful investor do? Or if I wanted to 10x my portfolio in 5 years, how would I go about making the moves today that are going to allow me to do that? If I want to be financially independent, what are the moves that I have to make to do that? And instead of tuning your mind to, oh, how can I, you know, use half of my business, or how can I collect half of my rent in cash? Those are the kind of questions that are just going to keep you in survival mode and that are going to keep you small, as opposed to unlocking strategy that's going to give you more of like a big picture idea and to really reframe the mental loop that you're in. And, you know, I think that understanding that like human beings, we're really trained, our minds function in a way to try to avoid loss. And so to be in this like fear-based cycle where we don't want the government taking our money, we don't want to have bad tenants, we don't want to make bad decisions. And that because we're in this loss aversion mind frame, we are not asking those expansive questions that are going to allow you to see bigger things and have a really a growth-based mindset to take you out of that fear space. And so when you're asking yourself questions around scaling, creating, multiplying, doing things better, creating value, like those are really where you want to be dwelling in your mind and not in those, you know, loss-based areas of like, oh, somebody's going to fraud me, or the government's going to take half my money in tax, or I need to like worry about these specific things. By all means, mitigate the risk, but don't dwell in your mind in a place where you're in those like loss-based, fear-based spaces. That's point number two. If we want to then get to point number three, which is really to build your tribe. So what does this look like? It looks like investing in meeting the right people and then investing in nurturing your relationships. And, you know, I had like some really crazy experiences last week where, you know, in looking at the way some of my organization does like, you know, bookkeeping and various kinds of operations that we do on the back end, like I just kind of got my mind open to the use of Upwork and how you can really scale this and offshore a lot of those tasks and get them done, like get your administrative stuff done in a way that's super efficient. And then as I was going through this process, I was kind of like, holy moly, what's going to happen to all of those service workers, you know, who are local in Canada, all of those like younger people who are just entering the job market, and the competition that they're going to face is from not just AI, but also from the whole world. So whether it's, you know, the Philippines or Pakistan or India or Ukraine, or like wherever a particular task is performed, like the whole world is now at our fingertips, is at the fingertips of business people looking to hire. And how are young people going to invest strategically in skills that will continue to deliver for them? Because let's face it, like learning how to operate a specific platform, like whether it's QuickBooks or, you know, any kind of like skill that is really based on a particular platform, like platforms will change every 6 months now. And for those of you who are in business, you know, today we might be using Loom and StreamYard, but tomorrow there's going to be something else. And 2 years ago, we were using this different kind of tech stack. So as these things are constantly changing around us, the thing that in business and in real estate is not replaceable are really the people that are around you. And there are really like two aspects of this. One of them is that network and that peer group that you're going to be able to tap into, and that's going to set the standard for you in terms of, you know, what you can do with your real estate investing, what you can do with everything, right? Like that's what a peer group does, is it sets that standard for you. And then your network is really the people that you can call when you're in a pinch. So every time you need something or you have a question, like who do you have in your contact list that is going to give you the right answer to a specific question? So those are really things that, you know, while you can ask GPT what the right thing is to do, you don't necessarily like have the accountant or the real estate broker or like whoever it is in your contact database that's going to be able to help you out with something. And, you know, to all the young people who grew up kind of in the COVID phase and unfortunately missed out on a lot of that socializing, the extent to which we are building our social skills, We are investing in our relationships, because that's the other thing. Real estate is really a relationship-based game. And whether it's that you're looking for an off-market deal or that you want to have the best possible advice, be connected to the best possible people, that is all like a relational thing. And so the degree to which you invest in those social connections and the social skills is really something that's going to pay you dividends. And it's my prediction that in the next 10 years, the real differentiator, because getting stuff done using AI or offshore labor is just becoming easier and easier and cheaper and cheaper. But what it is not easy to replicate and where you can really stand out from the group is in the quality of your social skills and the relationships that you invest in now, which 5 to 10 years from now are going to just be massive assets. So I think that this building your tribe and investing in that social fabric around us is going to become of increasing importance. And, you know, to just tie this in with what I'm trying to do with Equity Builders Club, like having that community in which there are trusted individuals, like-minded individuals, people who want to help each other out and want to be a part of something, a part of a social fabric. Not only is that something that creates meaning, but it's also a way for us to hedge some of the uncertainty that's coming down the pipeline and to counteract, you know, some of the volatility and the instability that there is happening around us. So, you know, I don't want to turn this into a pitch fest, but that this is really how we design our EBC events in a way to make this easy for you. And as somebody who, you know, really was an introvert from the beginning of my career, I always found networking extremely difficult and painful. And so in founding Equity Builders Club, like the goal is really to have those community type events where like even an introvert can come and be quickly integrated into something bigger and not feel sort of left out and everything like that. So, you know, if you are not doing anything next Tuesday, please come and join us at our next networking event. But if you can't make that, put it into your success habits that really the differentiator, I think, in the next 5 to 10 years is going to be the degree to which people invest in their social skills and really invest in those relationships. And, you know, unfortunately for people who've come of age in COVID and for all of us who really had, you know, 3 to 5 years where we were cut off and a lot of our communities suffered, like we could all use that for refresher of our social skills and, you know, the call to action to get out there and really build our network and treat the people around us in a way that makes them want to continue to deal with us going forward. So point number 4 in those success habits is to get comfortable with discomfort. And we already touched on that a little bit in the previous point where I was talking about, you know, all of the disruptors that are coming for us and whether that's, you know, what is going on with AI, whether it's going on with the job market in terms of offshoring a lot of service jobs, right? Like we went through this phase of disruption where a lot of manufacturing was sent offshore, but we're now going through another set of disruptions where, the uses of AI is making certain skills and job descriptions. It's really transforming them at the same time as we're able to hire quite cheaply for other kind of administrative roles. So there's just this incredible in the business world disruption going on. But, you know, if we think about the last 5 years of what the real estate market has been through between the COVID phase, the interest rates, you know, for those of you who are using various technological tools to manage your buildings, like there's just an incredible rate of change that is, as far as I'm concerned, only accelerating as the world becomes more integrated, more complex, more technologically advanced. And we're really exiting this era of predictability. And so as a skill, this being comfortable with disruption and getting comfortable with the discomfort of constantly having to change things, like us as business owners and investors, we really need to be in this mode of agility. And so that means that you have to build the muscle of being able to act despite the fact that there is a ton of uncertainty around, and also to just build the muscle of taking action anyway. And even though obviously you don't want to make risky decisions, you don't want to overextend yourself, we do need mechanisms to help us move forward irrespective of whatever uncertainty or risk might be lurking in things. We do need a way to move forward in that environment. And the best way that I have to describe that is to really just get comfortable with the fact that like things are going to be topsy-turvy for the next time period just because the market volatility and the rate of change is accelerating. And, you know, If I can also mention some other aspect that I feel like keeps people able to be agile and dynamic is also that like those networks and social relationships are doubly important in these unstable moments, because the group brain or the community mind can help you get around certain obstacles and help you stay aware of some of the things that are happening at maybe a faster rate than you would be on your own, just because there are 1,000 eyes and 1,000 ears out there listening and watching for you. So while this is a separate point to, you know, become uncomfortable with discomfort, I think it really ties into my previous point about network, which is that when you're looking for a way to hedge some of that disruption and some of the volatility, like there's definitely building the muscle of taking action anyway, but the part of what's going to help you do that in a way that's strategic and really perhaps less risky than it might be is to invest heavily in your network and social relationships in order to just make sure that those guardrails are there and that you're making decisions strategically in the best optimal possible way, you know, because you're surrounded by a community and a group of people who is also involved in the same thing as you are. And then the last point, number 5 of success habits, is to avoid perfectionism. And this is another place where not a week goes by where I don't talk to somebody who is sitting on the sidelines of making offers and getting out there and trying to do a deal because they're waiting for that mythical off market, that mythical property that's going to immediately cash flow and beat everyone else's return by a wide margin. And that really what this ends up being is a way of procrastinating, right? Because the time that you spend sitting on the sideline really needs to be evaluated in terms of opportunity cost. Because while you spend 6 months or a year sitting on the sidelines hoping that the perfect deal is going to come along, what you're not doing is investing and taking advantage of the growth that the market could provide you. And if you're sitting on your down payment money, you're sitting on a fair amount of cash, like that is eroding every single month with inflation. If you have less cash on hand, let's talk more about the opportunity cost, because while you're sitting on the sidelines, even if you only have, you know, minimal down payment money, that sitting on the sidelines means that you are not actively in the market and you do not control assets that are appreciating and adjusting themselves with the cost of inflation. So that first asset that you don't own is getting further and further out of reach every single month as its prices go up along with the inflationary pressure. So, you know, while people are there looking at those margin beating deals, they're like waiting around for that deal to happen. Like what's actually happening is that opportunity cost is eroding how good that deal would be in the first place. Because if you give me the option to do, you know, a deal that's like whatever, 10% better than market 1 year from now, well, I will tell you that whatever property I buy today at market value is going to generate more than a 10% return in 1 year. And so if that's the way that you look at things, the pressure kind of flips itself around and it becomes more a question of like, how can I do a decent deal quickly to take advantage and not have this opportunity cost realize itself, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to like sit around and like watch what other people are doing for 6 months or a year and not take action. That like really what's actually the most expensive is the not taking action as opposed to taking an imperfect action. This is now my top 5 list of things that you can be working on this very week. The minute you stop listening to this this podcast, like I invite you to kind of take a couple of minutes and think about which one of these 5 habits resonated with you. Like I'm sure you're kind of aware of all of them, but which one could you do a better job of implementing and of working on, of acting on this very week to propel your real estate investing forward? And, you know, once again, if I can just conclude this with really a call to action is that's the purpose of these shows. And hopefully that's why you're listening to podcasts about real estate investing in the first place, is to really propulse you into action, not any action, strategic, smart action, but action that is going to happen before the next year, not more analysis paralysis. And, you know, pick one of these habits and get going on it this very week, I guarantee you that that's going to have an amazing ROI for you as you go forward. So Real Estate Fan, if you enjoyed this episode, if you think this content is useful, please go ahead, share it with someone, you know, tag them in a social media post, call them out with the particular habit that you think that they should be improving on. If your friends, spouse, husband, kids don't already listen to the show, please subscribe their phone to the show so that we can get the word out to more people.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.